to know when it's done.
Recordings are started.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. Welcome to the GNSO Council meeting on the 24th of January 2019. Would you please acknowledge your name when I call it? Thank you. Pam Little.
Here.
Maxim Alzober.
Here.
Rubens Kuhl.
Here.
Keith Drazik.
Here.
Darcy Sudwell.
Here.
Michaeli Nalen.
Here.
Thank you. Michaeli is proxy for Carlos Gutierrez, who will be listening in only for today's meeting. Mary Petullo.
Here.
Scott McCormick.
Here.
Thank you. Paul McGrady is an apology for today's meeting. He's given his proxy to Philippe Petillon. Flip. Philippe Foucault.
Here.
Rafik Damak.
Here.
Elsa Sadi.
Present.
Arsène Tungali.
Here I am. Thank you.
Thank you. Tony Harris.
Here.
Tatiana Tropina.
Present.
Martin Silva-Valent.
Present.
Aidan Fedelin.
Here. Thank you.
Thank you. So Saeed Ismail Shah has given his apologies for today's call and proxy to Rafik Damak. Cheryl Langdonol.
Present.
Eric Kaman.
Present.
Yulf Helsingius.
Here.
Thank you. Adibi Oladipo. I don't see Adibi in the room at this time. We also have guests with us for the GNSO strategic planning session. We have James Bladel and ICANN board members Avi Doria and Matthew Shears. From staff, we have Mika Koenigs, Julie Headland, Steve Chan, Caitlin Tubigan. Participating remotely, Barry Cobb, Errol Yang, Terry Agnew, and Moses Sulu for technical support, myself, Natalie Peregrin. I'd like to remind everyone to please remember to state your names before speaking for remote participants and transcription purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Keith.
Okay. Thank you, Natalie. Hi, everybody. Keith Drazik for the transcript. And welcome to our January 2019 GNSO Council meeting, one of the four council meetings a year where we actually get to meet face-to-face. So lovely to see everybody in person, and looking forward to a good meeting today. Just want to note, we're going to use the Adobe chat for the queue, if that's all right with everybody. Obviously, if you're having trouble with Adobe, put your hand up or get my attention. But I think for the ease of tracking order and making sure that everybody has the opportunity to speak in order, we will use the Adobe chat for the queue. So with that, we will go through the updates to statements of interest. So let me pause and ask if anyone here has an update to their statement of interest. Seeing none, next item on the agenda, 1.3, is a review and amend the agenda. So I will briefly run through the agenda today. To note that right off the bat, at the end of our administrative matters, I'm going to add a 1.5. We're here joined by our friendly neighborhood ombudsman, who's asked for a few minutes to say hello. So Herb is going to be here, so we'll add him to 1.5 at the end of our admin matters section. So we will start today after we get through the administrative matters, which will come next with a status of the minutes for the previous council meeting. We'll get to opening remarks, a review of the projects and actions list, that'll take us potentially 15 minutes. Hopefully we can get through that a little bit more quickly. Item 3 on our agenda is the consent agenda. There is one item there, which is the confirmation of Jonathan Frost as one of the GNSO appointees to the CCWG auction proceeds, replacing John Nevitt. Item 4 on the agenda is a council discussion covering the review of the public comment drafts. We've allocated 15 minutes for that. There are three specifically that we've called out, two related to the budget and strategic plan, and I'll turn to Aidan Ferdelin as the chair of the SCBO to help us walk through that, and then discussion about the update on operating standards for specific reviews. Item 5 on the agenda is council discussion around the temp spec and the EPDP, and we'll return to Rafik as the council liaison and vice chair of the EPDP update discussion item there. And if we could ask everybody to mute your lines if you're listening. Thank you. Item number 6 will be a council discussion on the EPDP and this discussion about the possibility of an implementation gap and or a backup plan. I think the discussion or the update from the EPDP liaison may actually help us accelerate the discussion around the implementation gap and backup plans. We may not need the full 20 minutes for that. But we wanted to carve out some time here during our face-to-face in Los Angeles to make sure that in the event there was a need to discuss a backup plan or a so-called Plan B, that we had the ability and the time frame to do that. Item number 7 is a council discussion on the ongoing discussions and deliberations on the IGO-INGO access to curative rights protection mechanisms. We've carved out 15 minutes for that. May or may not be necessary for the full time, but I'll provide an update there. And then we'll get to any other business. 4 items under any other business. Update on the CSC effectiveness review. We'll turn to Philippe Foucault for that. Discussion on the IANA functions review team composition, specifically the CCNSO proposal about managing some of the challenges that they've experienced in being unable to identify a non-CCNSO CCTLD operator to participate in that. We'll talk about ICANN 64 planning, and then finally a discussion of proposed council additional budget requests for FY20. So that is our currently proposed agenda. Let me pause now and ask if anybody would like to add anything to the agenda, make any suggestions or amendments. Okay, seeing no hands in the room and no hands in Adobe. Let's then turn back to our agenda. So let me scroll back up. One moment. Okay. So I'm going to go back to agenda item 1.4, which is noting the status of the minutes for the previous council meetings per our operating procedures. The minutes of the council meeting from 29 November 2018 were posted on the 13th of December, and minutes of the council meeting on the 20th of December 2018 were posted on the 7th of January. Would anybody like to speak to the minutes as posted? Okay, seeing no hands, we'll move then to our new item 1.5 and welcome Herb.
Thank you, Keith. Apologize for the noise there as I approach the mic. You have a very quiet room here. It's surprising. I'm sure things will get much more animated as the day rolls on. Keith and I had an opportunity to meet in at the IGF in Paris recently, so it was great for me to meet him and speak with him in his new role, and congratulations on that. I recognize most people in the room, but I'm sure there are a few that haven't had the opportunity to meet with me yet. My name is Herb Way. I'm the ombudsman for ICANN, and I always take the opportunity to drop in and say hello when there's a meeting going on, because one of the critical things that I believe as far as my role as ombudsman is working closely and having good relationships with the leadership teams in the organization. You are my eyes and you are my ears to your constituency groups, your stakeholder groups, your communities, and I rely on you as leaders in the organization and as colleagues to help me to do my work in a more productive and efficient manner. So I have, as I said, I recognize and know most of you in the room, and I thank you for the help that you have given me over the years. For those of you that I haven't met and I don't know, I hope that we do get a chance to maybe speak briefly before the end of your meeting this week. And if not, we'll see you all in Kobe. So I wish you a very productive and pleasant GNSO meeting for the rest of the day. And thank you, Keith, for the opportunity to drop in and say hello. And please do not hesitate, anybody, if there is something pops up in your groups, in your communities, or in the council that you feel I may be able to assist with, to please reach out to me and hopefully resolve any issues as informally as possible. Thank you very much, and good afternoon, everybody. Are there any questions?
Thanks very much, Herb. I see a question from Yolf. Go right ahead.
Just out of curiosity, of course you can't mention any names. Can you tell me how many complaints you've gotten related to the EPDP group?
The EPDP is an ongoing function. It is new to the organization. As with probably most of the working groups, there have been issues of civility, and they have been raised to my attention and dealt with appropriately with both the leadership team, or if not necessarily with the leadership team level for the EPDP, informally, interpersonally with the people that are involved. So I am monitoring to the best of my ability as an observer the calls and go in and review the chat and the and I would say that probably most of the issues that have been brought to my attention have been comments that are being made in the chat, and you can see that they're fueled by issues that are not necessarily specific to the EPDP, but other issues that are more common to the general community that just happen to come out in some of the comments that are made. So I do my best to assist in any of the working groups that and observe as an outsider and as an outside resource. So, yes, does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you, and thanks. We appreciate you actually being there. I've seen you fairly often on the call, so thank you.
Okay, thanks, Yolf, and thanks, Herb. Michele, next in queue. Go right ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Michele, for the record. Just Herb, on your position and how you've been interacting with both the EPDP and other working groups, I would just recommend you have a look at some of the outcomes from this meeting, as we've been looking at how the liaisons and the leaders of working groups and the participants and the composition and all that kind of thing, how that can play out. I think that may hopefully improve things further down the line. In other words, empowering working group chairs to kick certain people from groups, for example, if that becomes necessary. Just being clear about what we're talking about.
Thank you, Michele. That has been brought up to me in the past, specifically the role of chairs, co-chairs, vice chairs in enforcing the expected standards of behavior. And I can assure you that I am available to participate in any of those conversations you may have. Please reach out to me, and I will make myself available to participate and offer any advice or thoughts that I may have.
Hey, thanks, Herb. I'll make a comment here, and then I have Elsa next in queue. So, just to provide a bit of context around Michele's comment, one of the things that the GNSO Council did in 2018, starting a year ago this time, was to try to identify ways that the Council itself, as the manager of the PDP process, could be more effective and efficient in helping the groups themselves to be more effective and efficient. And one of the key roles that we identified that needed to be beefed up in terms of its responsibilities, or at least the awareness and execution of those responsibilities, was the role of the GNSO Council liaison to each of the PDP working groups. And what Michele referenced, I think, was in part focused on the role of the liaisons, in part focused on the role of the leaders, in part focused on how we structure our working groups in the GNSO. And so these are all open questions, and this year in 2019, our plan is to essentially implement some of the key recommendations that came out of our so-called PDP 3.0 process last year. And so I think it might make sense for, as we advance our work, perhaps to have some touch points with you as a possible input to our considerations. So I just want to note, thank you for being here. You're always welcome to come in and observe and say hello and have a few words with the GNSO Council when we meet in person. But let me now turn to Elsa.
Thanks, Keith, and thank you, Herb, for being amongst us. I just have a quick follow-up question, and it's after experience over the meetings. Have you evaluated that your office has enough mechanisms to hold counterparts accountable after evaluation? And this question comes out of specific hardships or specific hampering of certain PDPs around us in the past 6 months. So I'm just wondering if after the experience that you've had, have you felt that you could eventually hold counterparts accountable based on the mechanisms that are already in place in the ombudsperson's office?
That's an interesting question because the fundamentally, the ICANN expected standards of behavior does not have an accountability component necessarily attached to it. So I can intervene and mediate or attempt to resolve interpersonal issues or even look at process issues that may be dysfunctional. But when it comes to, if we're specifically talking about interpersonal behavior and inappropriate behavior, there needs to be a much more robust process at the policy level. For instance, GNSO policy should have something in it that allows them to, for instance, remove somebody specifically from a group meeting or working group or something. But as an informal conflict resolution practitioner and an ombudsman for the organization, I unfortunately don't have the power. I can only recommend, for instance, to GNSO counsel saying that if you have something in your bylaws or in your rules of procedure that says that you can remove somebody or ban somebody or sanction somebody from participating, I can only recommend that you enforce that level and or possibly stand by your decision to do that and as a kind of a justification element of it. But unfortunately, the expected standards of behavior is a guideline. It's not a rule with sanction or penalty attached to it. And unless we move into the harassment and the anti-harassment policies, where I do have the ability to sanction, you can only rely on a recommendation that I could possibly put to you. But that recommendation would have to be supported by something in your rules that say that you can do something. Then I could come back and say, well, you can do it. Now, I would even suggest that there would be an informal conversation prior to that, because if an initial look at that said to me that, yes, that person shouldn't be there, then I would say, go ahead and take your action, and I will support your action, rather than me coming out and doing an investigation, recommending to you that you take the action, which could take, you know, weeks or months. Move with your action, but bring me in right at the beginning as an observer, as a participant in the decision-making process, so that I can observe as an independent individual and say that, yes, all of the process was followed, and I support your decision to do X, Y, Z.
Thanks very much, Urban. This is Keith Drazik for the transcript, and let me just take that moment to remind everybody to say your name when you're speaking for the transcript. I'm terrible at it myself. But thank you very much for those comments, and I think, Herb, that that really is helpful for all of us on council to understand sort of the roles, the different areas of responsibility, the perfectly reasonable limitations on what you can do. But I think it also points to the need for the council in our role as managing the PDP processes and the community around us, and specifically the policy development work, to, you know, take responsibility and recognize that it's up to us to develop and ensure that our policies are enforced. And if we can engage with you to better inform our deliberations, then we look forward to doing that. So thanks for joining us. Okay. Thanks, everybody, for that. Let's move on now to the next item on the agenda, which is item 2, sort of opening remarks and a review of the projects and actions list. So I think we can just move right into the projects and action list. All right. And forgive me, everybody, I'm going to be reading off of my screen, which means I need to take my glasses off. Okay, so I hope everybody's had an opportunity to review this prior to the meeting. It's something, you know, sort of a standard that we ought to set for ourselves is for before every council meeting, once a month, we should all be reviewing this and making sure that we're up to speed. But I think we have specifically four working groups underway at this point, which is the EPDP on the temp spec, the cross-community working group on new GTLD auction proceeds, the PDP, the review of the rights protection mechanisms in all GTLDs, that's the RPM-PDP working group, subpro, and those are essentially the sort of the key and active working groups that are underway at this point. I know that we're going to be talking about the EPDP here shortly today. We don't currently have an update scheduled today on the CCWG on auction proceeds. The PDP on RPMs, there's no specific update today, and the subpro PDP, no specific update today. But we do, I'll note, have some leadership calls scheduled with the various leaders of the PDP working groups that are active at this point over the coming months, and we'll be sure to report out on those conversations as we move forward. Just to basically, it's a touch point prior to the Kobe ICANN meeting to make sure that we've had an opportunity to have the leadership pre-conversations with the leaders of the PDPs, and again, following on some of the conversations we had earlier this morning, with the hope of trying to make the conversation in the face-to-face meeting as effective as possible around the PDP updates. Next on the action list is the project list is council deliberations. We have the curative rights on IGO-INGO work, and we're going to talk about that later this afternoon. And then we have several items listed under pending board vote or having been voted already. So I'm not going to go through each one of those line items. Would anybody like to raise any questions or comments around the projects list? Okay. Thanks, Michele. Feel free to.
Yeah, thanks, Keith. Michele, for the record. I suppose a couple of these items, while technically, yes, they are in implementation, realistically, we should be cognizant that they're actually paused. So, for example, proxy privacy is essentially paused. FICO is essentially paused. Thanks.
Thanks, Michele. That's an interesting point. While they are technically in the implementation phase, it's a good question as to whether it warrants calling out things that are sort of, in a hiatus or as a pause status. I certainly wouldn't be opposed to that. It means we'd probably have to add another circle up to the key at the top, but not necessarily a bad suggestion from my perspective. But Marika's going to tell me why I'm wrong.
This is Marika. I wouldn't dare. No, just to know that, of course, when you actually scroll down in the status of those items, we've noted there what the status is. Of course, we can maybe add an additional marker here, but hopefully from the descriptions, it should be clear the status that these items are in. And of course, even though they're paused, they're still from a project plan perspective, still in the implementation phase.
Yeah, thanks, Marika. And of course, that's an important note for those that haven't taken a full view of this project list. This is just the first page, and there's a lot of substance and detail down below. So I think that's a good point, Marika. And maybe it's not a separate category that we create, but in this initial slide or in this initial page, we could highlight where something might be in a pause status just to draw it out. But a good point about the significant detail and substance down below. Okay, any other comments? Michele, is that a new hand?
Yeah, it is. No, just thanks. I mean, Marika's 100% correct, as always, and I would never dare to contradict Marika because that would just be painful. But I think the reason why I raise it is more to do with setting expectations for other parts of the broader community. And just so that it's clear to people that certain items are linked to other items, and due to uncertainties or whatever, that they're currently not moving forward. Thanks.
This is Keith. Thanks, Michele. Okay, unless there's any other comments on the projects list, let's move to the action items. Thank you very much. Okay, so we're going to run through this fairly quickly. We've got some open items, but several of which will be discussed during the meeting today. So I'm looking at the screen now, so I'm going to look to staff to help scroll as we go. So the item number one is the updated charter for cross-community engagement group on internet governance. We had a conversation about this during our last call, where I had proposed that we allow our members in the GNSO to continue participating in the cross-community engagement group that's been chartered by ALAC, and that at this time we essentially go with the less formal approach and not go through a full-blown chartering process where one is not necessary. And I know there was some discussion on the list, on our last call, about that approach, and I had an action item to circulate a proposed communication to the other chartering organizations outlining that approach, and I have not yet done that, despite multiple reminders from Marika and Natalie. So I'll take responsibility for that, and I will do that following this meeting prior to our next meeting. But the proposal on the table is to allow our community to participate in the CCEG on internet governance, but not go through the full-blown process of coming up with a charter and creating a whole lot of structure and formality where one probably is not necessary. But let me pause there. And Cheryl, I see your hand up in Adobe. Welcome, Cheryl.
Thank you, Keith. Cheryl Langdonor for the record. Just to update you, to let you know that ALAC is discussing where they stand on now being the sole charterer of what is supposedly at one stage going to be a cross-community activity. So whilst ALAC obviously going to welcome you reaching out with the clarification of the GNSO's views on all of this, obviously I have briefed them, they are also considering their own response to that. And I know certainly in Kobe, if not before, they will be discussing this with the appropriate parts of the ICANN board, because it does confound them as to why they should run a cross-community group if it's a sole charter, a sole entity chartering it. So we will see. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Cheryl. This is Keith. I hear what you're saying, and it is a bit perhaps confusing about, you know, the idea of a cross-community group chartered by one organization. But let me be clear in that I think most, if not all, certainly most of us at the, you know, in the GNSO council level view, based on our previous conversations over the many months and years now, view this engagement among the community, ICANN org, and ICANN board as extremely valuable. When we moved away from the CCWG approach, the cross-community working group, because it no longer fit the model approved by the community about CCWGs, we again reiterated at that time how valuable this engagement is and how it's important for the board, the ICANN org, and the community to have these conversations and have the ability to compare notes and strategize and develop positions for the broader internet governance discussions. But as we moved away from the cross-community working group, necessarily, because it was no longer actually a CCWG, under the terms outlined by the community for CCWGs, it became clear that it actually an engagement group was not something that was previously defined and a charter was not required. And so we, I think the sense of the group, or at least some in the group, is that there this work can continue, the engagement can continue, and it should continue, but that we don't need to necessarily go through the process of a formal chartering. And that that we can actually achieve exactly what we've been doing for the last several years procedurally and substantively without a charter. And, of course, if it becomes clear down the road that a charter is needed or that there's something not happening without a charter, we can revisit this as a community. But I think the sense is let's let the group continue working in an ad hoc manner and continue keeping an eye on it. So just wanted to be clear that from a GNSO perspective, there's still value in the engagement. So let me pause there and see if anybody else would like to jump in on that one before we move on. Okay, seeing no hands, let's move to the next item. And this is still Keith. Next item is a drafting team on the charter related to next steps for the handling of WHO's conflicts with privacy law. We made a decision as a council that we would revisit this question, essentially this, the call for volunteers for a drafting team, once the EPDP files its final report. This has basically been pushed off and is in a pending status subject to the delivery of the final report from the EPDP. Questions or comments? Next item. Okay. On this one, we have a point on the ICANN Reserve Fund. You'll probably recall that on the last couple of council meetings, there was ongoing discussion about whether the council should send a letter or send a note or put down some sort of a marker as it relates to the ICANN board's resolution related to the replenishment of the reserve fund from the auction proceeds. We have seen no further communication or discussion of that on the email list. I, again, had an action item to send a note seeking any further thoughts. I did not do that. My apologies. This is an open item that we'll pick up following this council meeting, and we really need to draw this to a close just as we need to some of the other items. So if somebody feels super strong about this or strongly about this, it's sort of on you as a counselor or your stakeholder groups or constituencies to step up and hold the pen. Comments or questions? Yes. Erica, thank you. Sorry, I was looking at the Adobe list.
Sorry, I always forget this. I think the only thing which is really needed is for future intervention or request from the board to receive some clarification about the legal and fiduciary duties they do have. I think we do understand it, but so to keep it totally open without framing it in what can potentially mean that further requests may come might be challenging. So I wonder, and this is the discussion we had in some of our exchanges, wonder it's not helpful to request further clarification. Not concerning the past request, but future requests.
Okay. Thanks, Erica. This is Keith. Yeah, I think that's a helpful distinction. As I follow up this meeting and take that next step, I think that'll be an important clarification in terms of what we're considering. So thank you. Other comments or questions? Okay. Next item is the IANA Functions Review Team. And so this one, if I recall correctly, has a couple of components. We are still waiting for finalization of the composition of the IANA Functions Review Team. But in this particular case, it's something that we'll need to coordinate with the CCNSO. Let me just pause for a moment and ask Marika, is this one of the topics we have in our any other business that Philippe was going to speak to? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Marika. This is a slightly separate item. It's kind of a hold item because, you know, we know this is coming, but we're waiting for the announcement that the AOB item is linked to this and kind of, I guess, a precursor before they finalize membership. So they're linked, but not the same.
Yeah, thanks, Marika. And for the clarification, this is Keith for everybody. The question is, once we finalize the slate of membership for the IANA Functions Review Team, there will need to be a process for identifying the co-chairs. But we're in a situation now also related to the point earlier discussed is the CCNSO has raised some concerns about its ability to identify the right slate of CCTLDs. And so we've got some work left to do on this one. We'll talk about that in a little bit more detail. But right now, we have the action item for us is to discuss our reaction or response or considerations about the CCNSO communication. There's no decision at this time about the co-chair selection. Next item. Updated operating standards for specific reviews. This is on our AOB agenda. So we'll move on from there. IGO, INGO, access to curative rights on our agenda for later this afternoon. So let's move on from there. PDP 3.0 is listed as completed. And obviously, we talked quite a bit about our implementation of PDP 3.0 today. Let's move on. Yes, Marika, go ahead.
And this is Marika. Just to note that, of course, the PDP 3.0 itself is not completed, but the action items here are completed, and there was also one to move this now to the project list, so you can actually follow the status from here on in the project list.
Yeah. Thanks, Marika. This is Keith. Perfect clarification. Okay, next item, the strategic planning session. Obviously, we're in the midst of that, so that is currently completed. There will need to be there will be a report coming out of the strategic planning session that basically outlines what we've discussed, not in specific detail in light of our Chatham House rule, but that we do have, you know, an obligation to report out how we've done, what we've done, the value that we've found, and essentially to go on record as to say this, we as a council have achieved a lot and found it helpful and set the stage for wanting to continue doing this if that's the feelings of the group. Next item is the EPDP. That's on our agenda. So I think that's mostly it for the action items list. There's any comments, any questions before we move on to the rest of our agenda? Can't see my Adobe chat. Are there any hands up? Sorry, computer locked up. Okay, no hands in Adobe, so let's move on. Back to the agenda, please. Okay, next item on the agenda is item three, our consent agenda. We have one item, as I noted earlier, confirmation of Jonathan Frost as one of the GNSO appointees in the to the CCWG auction proceeds, replacing John Nevitz. So, Natalie, if I can hand this over to you.
Thank you, Keith. Would anyone abstaining from this motion please raise your hand? Seeing no one, if anyone would like to object to this motion, please raise your hand. Would all those in favor of the motion please raise your hand? Thank you very much. Would Michaeli Nalan, Philippe Petillon, and Rafik Damak, who hold proxies, please also raise your hands? Thank you very much. No abstention, no objection. The motion passes.
Great. Thank you very much, Natalie, and thanks to everybody. So let's then, this is Keith, let's move on to item, I'm sorry. Let's move on to item number four, council discussion on the review of the public comment drafts. So we have, as I noted earlier, there are three public comments that we're going to discuss today. The first is ICANN draft FY20 operating plan and budget and five-year operating plan update. And I will shortly turn to Aidan for an update on that as chair of the SCBO. Then second, a discussion of the ICANN strategic plan for fiscal years 2021 to 2025, also something that's been assigned or delegated to the SCBO. And then third, an update on the operating standards for specific reviews. So with that, Aidan, if I could turn to you.
Thanks very much, Keith. Hi, everyone. This is Aidan Berdelin. So I'll take the first two together. So the Council Standing Committee on Budget and Operations has met four times this month, and we have been preparing comments on the budget. We have not, as of yet, started to prepare our comment on the strategic plan, but we are having an extended meeting next Monday where the primary agenda item is to review the strategic plan and to formulate our comments there. But so far, we have been commenting on the budget and, in particular, evaluating what impact it may or may not have on the GNSO. we have been reviewing the budget with an understanding that GNSO policy development and coordination is a key activity that we believe should be prioritized within the budget. So the deadline for comments is the 8th of February, and our intention is to share on the Council's mailing list today a first draft of the comment that we have prepared. In short, there are five requests that we are making to ICANN. One of them is for ICANN to look inward at its own overall spending patterns. We noticed when we evaluated the comments that we prepared last year, we on the current budget, we were not certain that all of our requests were taken forward. And so we're trying to be a bit more specific this time about what we would actually like to see. So we have tried to get rid of some of the more ambiguous language and to have much clearer recommendations as to changes that we would like to see. So there is some duplication from what we requested last year, but perhaps that was because we did not make ourselves explicit enough. Secondly, we are saying that we would like the community to be provided an appropriate level of support commensurate with our responsibilities under the bylaws. And we go into, and we do request some further information around what resources are being allocated to the GNSO and to other supporting organizations and advisory committees. And we do frame it in such a way as to say, if we can't be provided this information today, what can we be provided with? And we are happy to enter into a dialogue to be able to obtain this information in the future as well if the level of granularity that we're after cannot be accommodated. We also ask that the at the moment there is just a single figure provided for the contingency, and so we're asking that that can be broken down so that we have a bit more detail as to what the contingency is meant to actually accommodate, because that could entail the implementation of the outcomes from some of our working groups. And finally, we also ask that ICANN reevaluate the spend on its capacity development programs. So we do support the proposed right-sizing of the fellowship program, but some of the other changes, we think that there's the potential for some other changes to be made there. So we will share that comment on the mailing list today. We would be very open, of course, to feedback, questions, or suggested edits. We have another meeting on Monday, so if there is any comments that come in ahead of time, we can discuss that on our next call. Otherwise, I'm happy to take your comments forward to the Standing Committee's mailing list. We will also endeavor to get a draft of the comment on the strategic plan to you by this time next week. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks very much, Aidan. This is Keith. So I was able to join two of your four January calls, and I thought that they were very effective in terms of identifying some of the issues, and I think noting that the Council may have a view as it relates to our role and the GNSO more broadly, but at the end of the day, it's also up to SGs and Cs themselves to make any comments about the budget and operating plan that that those groups see fit. So thanks for that work. Let me pause and see if anybody else here who's on the SCBO or if anybody has any questions or comments. Okay, Michele, go ahead.
Thanks, Keith. Just a couple of comments. One, I think we've managed to pull in a couple of new faces into that group. So, for example, on the registrar side, I'm no longer flying solo, which is great. There's also some interesting discussions going on the SCBO around transparency and disclosures, specifically in relation to travel support, which I think is something that we need to keep a close eye on. At the moment, previously you could see very, very easily how much was being spent and how it was being spent, and you know that was great in terms of transparency. And now we're being told that can't be done anymore, and the right reasons, the rationale behind it are a little bit how would I put it, tenuous maybe. I'll go with tenuous. I think this is something we will need to look at more closely. Another matter I think that we also need to be cautious with is that certain projects are being lumped into the policy team's overall budget when it mightn't actually be work that's being conducted by the policy team. And that is kind of disturbing. I'm not sure exactly how we can address that, because it gives a skewed view of how money is being spent. Thanks.
Sorry, Michele, this is Keith. Thanks. Can you just explain that last point? Did I hear you right that said that there's line item or there's money in the budget or assigned to the policy team for work that they are doing or are not doing?
There's money being allocated. Okay, how do I phrase this? Expenditure is being assigned to the policy cost center, even though the work involved has nothing to do with the policy, with the GNSO policy team's work, if that makes sense. So a particular event is being held, and it's outside the GNSO, but my understanding is that in the way it's being reported within the financial reports is that it's being assigned to the policy team's cost center. So it looks like the expenditure in policy is either similar to previous years or potentially increased, whereas in reality it isn't, because they've assigned something which has got nothing to do with policy to that cost center. Does that make sense?
Thanks, Michele. It's a helpful clarification. I misheard you earlier.
Okay, Eric, are you saying no, or are you saying yes? Or sorry, I'm confused. You're confused. I mean, if you want me to explain it more explicitly, I can. But I was trying to be vague. Okay. Well, okay. I'll be more specific if you want me to be. No. Some people are saying yes. Okay. Well, I'll shut up then.
All right. Thanks, Michele and Erica. I think, look, if there are concerns about those types of things, then we should appropriately raise those, and that's something that the SCBO should be, you know, basically incorporating into its comments, and that we as a council should consider those. And certainly, if we need to have a discussion about something that's of concern, then we have the ability to do that now, or we can do it offline or on the email list. But let's make sure that if there's a real concern there, that it's captured. Okay. Any other comments or questions on the two public comment periods that Aidan covered related to the budget, operating plan, and strategic plan? Okay. Seeing no hands, let's move on then to the next item, which is an update on the public comment update on the operating standards for specific reviews. And I'll turn to Rafiq on this one.
Okay. Thanks, Keith. It's Rafiq speaking. We don't have that much to share, but we are 3 people and that voluntarily to work on this comment for the draft. So we started to go through the paper, and so what we are trying to do is to review that against the submission by the council last year, since there are several changes, and to try to see if our comments last time were reflected. But also we will pay attention to see if there are other areas that we should cover. So in term of draft, we are trying to get something done by next week, hopefully middle next week, that we can share it on time for the council consideration, I think by the usual process of non-objection. But taking the opportunity here, if anyone want to join us, or if there's any comment that you have in mind and you want to share, we can add that to the draft. So I'm sorry that we don't have that much to present, but maybe the timing was not good around the SBS. So, So our focus will be to really check if previous comments were included or not, and to see if there are also other changes in what is proposed in terms of the specific review operating standards.
Okay. Thank you, Rafiq. This is Keith. Anybody want to respond or make comments regarding the operating standards for specific reviews? I see no hands, so I'll just note for everybody as counselors, these are 3 public comment periods, one of which the deadline is February 8th, and the other 2 are 11 February. So over the next couple of weeks, we're going to have some action items as counselors to review these and to provide timely feedback. So just putting that out there, watch the list. When you see the call for feedback come out, please focus on it and get the feedback in a timely fashion. Thank you. Okay, let's move on to the next item on the agenda, which is item number 5, a council discussion on the temporary specification and the EPDP. This is the recurring update that we as council receive from Rafiq, our GNSO council liaison to the EPDP. And so, of course, we receive weekly updates, written updates from Rafiq, and I sincerely hope everybody is taking advantage of reading those and absorbing those. And this is our monthly sort of verbal or oral update to and give us an opportunity to also ask any questions or clarifications. So, Rafiq, thank you very much for all the time and effort that you've been putting into the EPDP and to providing the weekly updates. And we look forward to hearing this update. Then, of course, coming out of this conversation, we'll talk next about our earlier council discussions and the exchange of letters with the board on the possibility or potential need for a so-called Plan B. So, Rafiq, over to you. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Hughes. This is Rafiq speaking again. So, the last council meeting, it was at around the time of the end of the public comment. And since then, we first, the leadership team with the support staff, with the help from leadership team, we worked to prepare for the public comment review. And then the team, after the holidays, we went through the comment review. Through the several the our usual call, but the important milestone was to have the face-to-face meeting in Toronto last week. So our goal was really to go through all the input we received, since we asked the community to give us guidance, and regarding the recommendation, the purposes, and also several questions we are asking for input. So what we are trying in terms of approach is kind of we try to aggregate or consolidate the comment by concern, so and to give attention to all of them. And we try to use different approach, like having two teams, so we can try to work on parallel as much as possible. But we left also a lot of those tasks for the comment review for the face-to-face meeting. And My feeling, I think, the observations probably shared by many of those who attended the meeting last week, that we made a lot of progress. However, still there are still a lot of tasks to be done. So we need to finish the review of the public comments because there are still some items. And I think I shared this week a kind of document we were using to show the level of progress in terms of by recommendation or even general comment, so how much we are covered and what is still done in terms of actions. We also have to review the data element workbooks, since if we are making any kind of a change, we need to ensure that those data elements workbooks are still consistent, and to maybe there is possibility to make some change in the theme in term of format. And we have, for example, again, using a small team to do that in parallel. We also have the draft final report that was shared, that was prepared by the staff, and adding the new elements, kind of maybe more administrative, but we are expecting the team members to add their suggestions and edits. There are also still some outstanding items we are trying to cover. I'm not going to list all of them. I can share them later in the mailing list. So I can say we have several things in parallel to do, and we are pushing the EPDP team members really to focus on the deadline we have. We know that's a lot of work. Even we extended this week the course to 3 hours, and we know that's challenging. But I think this is kind of the last mile. So we have to do all what we can in terms to make a progress. And also by the discussion and deliberation, we know that several items should be kind of deferred for more deliberation and work in phase two. So I think that's my reading here as a liaison, that there is kind of really understanding from the EPDP team members that we have to do what is possible for now and try to cover other things in phase two. It was challenging in the beginning, but I think we reached now, we reached that common understanding. So we still have to aim for the 1st of February, but I can say that I think we can aim by to have to deliver the final report for the council deliberation by next month. So to be in time as the envisioned in the timeline. So that I can say for now. I mean, there is always risk that we may, you know, kind of maybe we move a little bit backward, but we are keep pushing. And something we need to remind everyone is that we know that a lot of tasks that we have to be covered in parallel. So just to remind them to do, I mean, I'm not going to say the homework, but just to do that. So I want really to thank the EPDP team members for what they are doing, and also the support staff, because we tend to forget that since the public comment, which is just ended around the holidays, everyone kept working because of the timeline. So.
Thanks very much, Rafiq. This is Keith. Thanks very much for the update. And yes, just to second your acknowledgement of the hard work of the EPDP members, the leadership, the support staff, our fellow councillors who are very much engaged in the process, either as primary or alternate or support for those contributing. My sense, based on what I've heard coming out of the Toronto face-to-face meeting, is that it made substantial progress and that some of the concerns about delays or not being able to deliver a consensus policy recommendation to the council are reduced. In other words, that there's an enhanced or increased expectation that the EPDP will deliver a consensus recommendation in a timely manner. And frankly, I think if we're talking now about the possibility of a week's delay or a couple of weeks' delay, then that's great success at this stage, and that really the most important thing that can come out of this work is a solid consensus policy recommendation that will replace the temporary specification and then allow the community through the EPDP to continue working on the outstanding items and eventually or in short order getting to discussions around a uniform access model. So I want to just note procedurally for council and for anybody that might be listening, that the GNSO Council currently has two meetings scheduled for the month of February, the first being February 14th. That was a special or an extraordinary meeting that we put on the calendar as a placeholder to be able to work on questions surrounding the EPDP and the final report. And then we have our regularly scheduled GNSO Council meeting towards the end of February, I believe on the 21st, if I'm not mistaken. And I'll look to staff to confirm that I've got that right. 21st of February. Thank you. So we have two opportunities in February for the council to take up a discussion, consideration of the final report from the EPDP working group. And I should just say that we, as a group, look forward to doing so and encourage you as the EPDP working group to continue your excellent deliberations, as challenging and painful as they may be at times, with a target towards reaching one of those dates, so the council has the ability to, with all of the document deadlines needed, to be able to consider and ideally approve in short order the consensus recommendations coming from the EPDP, forwarding them to the board. So let me pause there, see if anybody else would like to weigh in on this issue in reaction to Rafiq's comments, my comments, sort of the current state of affairs with the EPDP. And then I'd like to give Marika an opportunity, if she'd like to take it from a staff perspective, to say anything about the progress of the group as one of the key staffers. So let me just open the floor up first, and then we'll come to Marika. No hands on this one? This thing on? Oh, Michaela, of course. Thank you.
Keith, you're so sweet. No, I'm just going to say, because for the record, as this is item number 5, I don't have anything to say. I think both myself and several other people will have quite a bit to say on item number 6. But item number 5 and item number 6, in many respects, are actually one item.
Yeah, thanks, Michaela. So let's move on then, in the interest of time, and we'll just do a time check here. Thanks. I did see another hand. We have Aiden, and then I'll come to Marika. And I was just going to do a time check. We're at the top of the hour, so we're halfway through our meeting. Just so let's keep that in mind as we have our conversations. Aiden.
Thanks for that, Keith. Hi, this is Aiden, and I'll keep this comment very brief. One, just to bring to Council's attention something that happened in late December, which was that ICANN.org established a technical study group on access to non-public registration data. And that is something that at least members of the EPDP team have not yet been briefed on. So we are not entirely sure on what its remit is, what it is going to be doing, if it is engaging in some parallel process that could potentially impact the work of the EPDP. But that might be something that we as the Council want to keep monitoring as well, just to understand what it is actually doing, because from what some members of the EPDP team have gathered and have expressed on the mailing list, it does appear to have substantial resources allocated to it. Thanks.
Thanks, Aiden. This is Keith. It's a really good point, and I'm glad that you raised that. And I think I'm guessing that the technical study group also has concerns about whatever it's working on and how the policy recommendations coming from the EPDP might impact their work. So I think it's probably a good idea for the two groups to, at least be informed of each other's mandate and scope and work. And so I think we absolutely should take an action item to better understand sort of how the groups relate in their work. So thanks for bringing that up. Okay, Marika, over to you.
Thanks, Keith. This is Marika. Not really a whole lot to add, and maybe just to echo what Rafiq says. We are in the last miles on the phase one, so it would be really helpful if everyone can encourage applaud their members to keep on going, and it will require some additional efforts in these last few weeks, because there's a lot of information that's going on the mailing list with the aim of finalizing recommendations and finalizing language for the final report. So anything you can do to help your groups and support them, I think that's at least from my point, the most important takeaway at this stage.
Okay, thanks, Marika. This is Keith. And again, just to reiterate what Rafiq said, is that everybody should understand that the leadership team, and particularly ICANN staff, spent a lot of time over the holiday season, if not all of their time over the holiday season, working on the public comments and coming up with the next version of the report for consideration, and essentially setting up what we, I think, see as a substantial step forward in Toronto. So kudos and acknowledgement for the staff work that took place to get us to where we are. So thanks for that. So let's move to item number 6, and I'm going to sort of try to set the scene here as to sort of how we came to this discussion about a Plan B, the exchanges that we've had, and where we are today. So as briefly as I can do it, I think approaching the end of the year, there were significant concerns about around the entire community about whether the EPDP working group was going to be able to deliver a consensus final report in a timely manner in light of the May 25th expiration of the temp spec. And as you've heard me say before, an EPDP is a PDP without an issues report, and it was never intended or designed to be concluded in a period of 12 months. The temporary specification imposed by the board is what created the 12-month deadline. And so we have our GNSO expedited policy development process, and our
members and community members have been working extremely hard under very, very difficult circumstances on a very, very complex topic. At the end of the year last year, there were some pretty serious concerns that the group would not be able to meet the deadline. And so discussions began around the potential need for a stopgap plan, a plan B, whatever you want to call it. And the council received a letter from the ICANN board on November 14th, basically asking us for, A, an update on the initial report, which was published a week later, and then more specifically, seeking the council's thoughts on a possible plan B, and actually recommending that the council consider a possible plan B in the event the EPDP was unable to deliver in a timely fashion related to the May 25th expiration of the temp spec. The council, in our conversations towards the end of the year, made a conscious decision that we were aware of the concerns, but we did not want to telegraph that there was some magic silver bullet backup plan that could be relied upon by the EPDP or the community, and that we wanted to support the work and encourage the work of the group. We sent a letter back to the ICANN board on January 10th, acknowledging the work of the group, acknowledging the concerns that had been raised, but pointing to the face-to-face meeting in Toronto as sort of a key assessment point or potential turning point in relation to the possible need for a backup plan. And we said that we were going to be watching very closely as a council, as the manager of the EPDP, to make sure that we were on top of it and that if it appeared necessary to start having a backup plan discussion, that we were prepared to do so. I'm paraphrasing, but that's essentially the message. And so we are now in a situation coming out of Toronto where I think we and most observers and participants feel much better about where we were relative to December and November when we received the initial letter from the board. And that conversations around a backup plan or a plan B are probably more appropriately focused now on what happens if there's an implementation gap or a gap between the finalization of the final report and the recommendations, approval by the council, approval by the board, and the expiration of the temp spec on May 25th. In other words, if contracted parties need more time to be able to implement the recommendations in the final report once approved by the council and board, how are we going to handle that? And so I think as we discuss plan B, a backup plan, stopgap, whatever we want to term it, I think right now the appropriate discussion is how is the EPDP, and this is important, how is the EPDP working group going to recommend to the council and eventually to the board how we will deal with an implementation gap and we will propose an implementation bridge. In other words, how will we ensure that if the new policies recommended aren't implemented on May 25th, what happens during that interim period between May 25th and when the policies are actually implemented? And so my view is that this is in the hands of the EPDP working group. It is not the role of the council in any way to dictate how that ought to come out, but that we as council stand ready to receive the recommendations from the EPDP working group and to consider them, and that we're certainly available for consultation as necessary, but that at this stage of the game, the ball is still very squarely in the community's court in the EPDP working group to determine how they want to recommend that we as council and the board consider that and move forward. So, with that, let me pause. I know there were some folks, including Michaeli and Erica, who said that they had some comments or questions about this, but that's my setting the scene and setting the stage for, I think, where we ought to focus this conversation. So, Erica, you want to go first?
Maybe you take Michaeli first, because I would derail a little bit from your question. So maybe you want to focus first precisely on the way you framed the question, and then you allow me to follow with an additional comment related to it, but a little bit framed in a different way.
Certainly, Erica, thank you. But you're assuming that Michaeli's not also going to derail the conversation.
Yeah, then you give it back to me.
I'm joking. Michaeli, over to you, please.
Maybe you should just give it to Erica now, because I probably will derail it. okay, thanks, Michaeli, for the record. I appreciate the way that Keith has tried to very diplomatically lay out the current state of play, but I think he's being very diplomatic, possibly too diplomatic. And the reality is that unless we change the way the time works, it being linear and moving forward, and kind of move into one of these kind of sci-fi things where it all slows down and, you know, and an hour is the equivalent of a year and all that kind of thing, there is absolutely no way that we are going to get output from the EPDP that will translate into actionable policy by the 25th of May. There is going to be a gap. That is the reality. I cannot see a reality in which there is no gap. Now, how the gap is handled is key. And but here I'm not 100% convinced, and this is me speaking personally, partially on behalf of the registrars, but not entirely, so I'll probably get kicked under the table. I'm not sure that the council is really able to fix part of this because it's more contractual than policy. So I'm not 100% clear on where we go with part of this, but there is definitely going to be a gap. Because even if the output of the EPDP's work was to confirm the temp spec, it could not confirm the temp spec in its current form. That cannot happen. And the reason that cannot happen is I would just ask you to look to Germany. And if those, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, just ask, but, you know, come on. So I just see that it's that gap, and how do we bridge that? And how can we bridge that gap in a fashion that makes sense? You know, what is the instrument for doing that? I've heard some discussions about the council producing some kind of time-limited policy, and I'm not sure exactly what the hell that is, and I'm not sure it's a precedent that we want to set. Thanks.
Thanks, Michele. This is Keith again. And so let me just react to a couple of things in terms of clarifying what I said and making sure that we're all very clear. There is no opportunity to extend the temporary specification, right? It's just not happening. It's not on the table. It's not provided for in the contracts. It cannot be extended at this point by the board. I also don't think that this is a council responsibility at this time, right? So, Michele, just to clarify, this is not a decision that the council can make at this time. This is not something that the council necessarily can or should propose. This is something that the EPDP working group has to recommend as it relates to any consensus policy recommendations replacing, confirming, or, you know, amending the temporary specification. Go ahead, Michele.
Yeah, sorry, just keep just reacting very, very quickly. I was not suggesting that you were suggesting that we as council would somehow extend the temp spec or to renew it. That was not what I was suggesting, because I was in the room when we discussed that ad nauseum several months ago. So no, I wasn't. But my only criticism is that you are being far more diplomatic about this than I would feel it warrants. I think we need to be a lot clearer that there is going to be a crisis.
Thanks, Michele. And I think if I'm being diplomatic, it's not acknowledging that there is very likely to be an implementation bridge or needed or an implementation gap. But I think, again, my point on terms of procedure and where this responsibility lies at this time is still with the EPDP working group, as it relates to potential consensus policy recommendations that would do something with regard to replacing the temporary specification. You know, there are other possible avenues, contractual negotiations between the contracted parties and ICANN. There's been some discussion about the possibility of a compliance framework, but I think at this stage the ball is still squarely in the court of the EPDP working group to come up with a recommendation that the council can approve and that the board can approve before the May 25th deadline. And that would absolutely, I think, necessarily include any recommendations around dealing with this gap between implementation and the expiration of the temp spec and whenever the policies can be implemented. So I've heard people say, oh, this is a GNSO council issue. Not yet, right? I've heard people say clearly we don't want the ICANN board going down the path of another temporary specification or trying to extend the current one, which they can't contractually. I agree with that. This is something that I think squarely belongs in the hands of the community in the EPDP, and that we as council need to be prepared to consider what the recommendations are. And so let me pause there. Erica, oh, sorry. We'll come to Erica next, unless Erica's ready now.
Whatever.
Erica, go ahead. You've been patient. Thanks.
This is Darcy Southwell. Sorry. Now I lost my train of thought. Do we feel certain that the EPDP understands that we have this expectation that they need to recommend a solution to the gap?
Thanks, Darcy. It's a great question. I believe the answer is strongly yes, but I would defer to our counselors who are involved directly in the EPDP or Rafiq as our liaison. We have others in the room who could certainly weigh in as guests if they'd like to on this topic of discussion. But, so Rafiq, please go ahead.
So, yeah, there was a recommendation on that matter, but that's still under discussion. So it's hard to say how it will end with, but I think, Michele, maybe you kind of mentioned what the spirit of that recommendation and how to handle that implementation gap. With regard to adopt the requirement of temporary specification on an interim basis, so I mean it's still under discussion, and it's something that we'll have to finalize it within the EPDP.
Okay, thanks, Rafiq. So I just want to take this moment. I've got a queue. So I've got Erica, Tatiana, and Rubens in the queue, and Fleep in the queue. But I want to just turn briefly and invite James as our facilitator for the strategic planning session, and who's here in the room with us, to also comment on that particular question, that specific question of does the EPDP working group recognize the need to address an implementation gap and or implementation bridge?
Yeah, thanks, Keith. James Bladel speaking, registrar representative to the EPDP. And I think the answer is yes, the EPDP does recognize that coming out of Toronto. It's something that several members, particularly from the contracted parties, flagged as a loose end that was not being addressed and that needed to be looked at with some urgency. I think the concern is that it's kind of continues to be sort of backburnered by some of the more, you know, substantive discussions, but we need to understand it. I think there is perhaps some folks are maybe underestimating the concerns of why there will be hesitation, and particularly in contracted parties, about either extending the temporary spec, which can't be done, or wrapping it up in something else and calling it and giving it a different name. I don't think they realize that perhaps if one registrar were to challenge that, it would probably fail, and then we'd be in some very dangerous waters. But as far as awareness, yes, absolutely, we flagged that on the last day of our meeting in Toronto.
Thanks very much, James. This is Keith. So let me get back to the queue. I've got Erica, Tatiana, Rubens, and Flip. Erica.
Thank you so much, Keith. This is Erica. I just like to highlight maybe a few points. So I haven't joined the call because of different reasons. But I like to point out to a few things. So first, I believe even when the gap is identified and there are recommendations prepared, then the final recommendation will still have to be tested against legal advice. I know, and I'm happy that you do have now a legal counsel, which I think it's a big progress on the call, Nonetheless, European law is, and if you really want to comply with it, is super complicated and complex, and you want to avoid problematic situation for operators. I just give you, if you haven't followed the case, just read the case, and I can send it to you, a quite detailed analysis from Google, that France fined Google about the apparently what they believe misuse on data protection policy based on the GDPR. And here you see how complex it is. You would imagine that there would be, they don't have a headquarter in France, keep this in mind. So you would imagine that the data protection authority based where they have a headquarter would issue the fine, but no, any national state in Europe can do this. Because the law and the enforcement side of the law is still national law. So it's a super complex matter. And I believe sometimes when I read some of the summaries from thank you so much, Rafik, for sending this always around, I still believe there's a gap in understanding what the law actually means in practical legal terms. So this is my one issue. The second one, I understood that you haven't touched yet on the access question to the databases. But this topic will be handled very soon. So I wonder if somebody can explain a little bit the timetable. Is this something which is going to happen after this deadline, or is it happening actually before the deadline? So what, yes.
So, Erica, thanks. Just so I'm clear, this is Keith. You're asking about when the EPDP starts the discussions on the access model? So great question, and I'm glad you raised that. So because there's an expectation of some engagement with the council level before that happens. So in our charter for the EPDP, we laid out that once the initial report was finalized and submitted, the initial report, that the conversations could begin on the access model. But it was clear at the time of the initial report that it was not far enough along and not near conclusion to the point where the gating questions hadn't been answered and some of the precursor work had not been completed. Therefore, it was premature for the access model phase two discussions to begin. I think the expectation now is once the final report is concluded in the coming weeks and a consensus policy recommendation is forwarded to the council, at that time the EPDP can start to have discussions on the access model phase two work. But there is an expectation of council that we will basically not object to that. In other words, so the EPDP will be able to start moving forward provided the council doesn't raise an objection to that process. So, or to that transition, if you will. So thanks for that question. Very important.
Can I have another second? Related to this, to the second phase, so the access model, defining the access model, that's in legal term maybe the most critical point because it touches not just how one can access databases, which is already complicated, but the second one, what kind of data retention laws are in place in different countries and certain law enforcement related issues. Super complicated. I just want to let you know, if you come closer to the end of the year and you're not very, I would assume most of you are not very familiar with European political processes, keep in mind that in 2020, the review of the current GDPR kicks in. So in the mid of 2019, the preparation will start. I'm already, on behalf of others, work not related to our environment, already working on this on these questions. So keep in mid-1990, the review, the informal review in the European Commission starts preparing, and then in 2020 it will kick in formally. So if there are excessively complicated, complex questions one wants to raise, I think the second half of the year is probably a good time to do so. And if there then is a need for the Commission to make recommendation to the Parliament and to Member States to change certain aspects, they could do so. So just keep this in mind. I'm saying this here because I'm not on the call and I'm not planning to join the call. So if you want to have, I'm happy to prepare a quick note for this for those who would love to have the timetable for this.
Thanks very much, Erica. This is Keith, extremely valuable expertise and context, so thanks for that offer. In light of time, I know we have two more people in queue. Three. That's Tatiana, Rubens, and Flip. And then I think we need to draw a line under this discussion and move on so we complete our agenda on time. So Tanya, Rubens, and Flip.
Thank you very much. Actually, I would like to start with the access issue. First of all, I do believe that we have to change terminology. From legal point of view, it's not access anymore, it's disclosure. And maybe for the second phase of this work, we as GNS saw better to fix this. Secondly, I like how we are painting here them not discussing access. Access has been discussed on every bloody call, and they are discussing access even during the review of public comments, because the public comments were flooded with different attitudes towards access. It was all about access, so the discussion is already going, and this is when I see the delays. And now I'm going to specific things. So about conveying the GNSO message about the need to fill this gap, I gather from this conversation, from what James says, from what Rafik said, there is awareness. But I'm just wondering, can we as GNSO send something to make two things crystal clear? First of all, keep in mind that this should be your priority, not only substantive issue, but your priority that there might be and probably will be a gap. And secondly, that GNSO doesn't think that fixing this gap belongs to GNSO. Because I've heard different opinions. So just to be crystal clear on this, that we decided that you in EPDP have to fix this. If we decide to do so, I don't know, because I agree with you, it should be EPDP. And I do not believe in, I do understand what Michele when he refers that there might be contractual solution, because it is at the end contractual. But I think that it would set even more dangerous precedent than GNSO fixing this, because at least GNSO is formed in this multi-stakeholder manner. Contractual solution will be something completely different. So instead of just saying that contracted parties flag this and whatever, we might as GNSO just, you know, step forward and spend something. Thank you.
Thanks, Tanya. Very helpful. That is something that we ought to consider. So maybe we can continue having some conversations about that over the next day and whatever's left of today during our strategic planning session. So with that, Rubens and then Flip, and then we'll move on.
Rubens Q, HGC Stakeholder Group. While I appreciate having a bridge instead of falling to the abyss, there is one thing about the temp spec that I liked. It came with a sense of urgency. So I just hope we don't miss that, because having a sense of urgency, having something that's uncomfortable for everyone, makes things happen or makes things happen faster. So we might want to consider how to keep that spirit moving along so we can end either in months or something like that, something that we failed to do in the last two decades. Thanks.
Thanks, Rubens. This is Keith. I agree with you, and I think the sense of urgency and deadlines actually was, as you noted, very painful. It was also very helpful in this process to get us to where we at least are right now. I think the concept of an implementation bridge, if we can use that term, would be in the context of a consensus policy recommendation that replaces the temporary specification and that essentially is on the books. And that the implementation bridge, as discussed or described, would be simply, a framework that would allow certainty and predictability to everybody while those policies are being implemented. But I take your point about the benefit of the timelines and the urgency, and that we don't want to just kick the can down the road interminably, which then would undermine that sense of urgency. So completely agree with you there. Flip, over to you.
Thank you. My point is covered.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Anyone else before we move on? All right. Thanks, everybody, for that excellent conversation. And, again, you know, kudos to everybody that's been working on the EPDP. And, you know, good luck in the next few weeks. So, all right. Thanks. Let's move on. Okay. So we move now to agenda item number 7, which is a council discussion on the IGO-INGO access to curative rights protection mechanisms. Again, I will set the stage for this, and we could probably move through this fairly quickly, as a delicate as an issue it continues to be for us, but I will set the stage. And time check, we have just under 30 minutes left in our call. So the current state of affairs on the IGO-INGO access for curative rights situation is that, as we all know, going back many months, we received the final report recommendations from the CRP PDP, and we've been discussing them ever since. We recognize that there are some challenges that took place with this PDP working group and that there are some challenges with the recommendations that were issued by this PDP working group. The current state of affairs is that we have on the table from council leadership a proposal to approve the first four recommendations, which would not change or create new consensus policies, and then refer recommendation number 5 to the RPM PDP working group for their consideration in phase 2. That is the current proposal on the table from the GNSO council leadership. And in, you know, working with ICANN staff, you know, over the course of December, if I'm getting my months and weeks right, that's essentially the conversation that we had going back to our December council meeting. In the interim, we sent a letter to the Manal Ismail, chair of the GAC, in response to her letter to the GNSO council back in Barcelona, which basically, you know, called on, and I'm paraphrasing, you know, called on the council to engage in further discussion or consultation with the GAC. And then there was further GAC advice to the board in its communique, or in the GAC communique, there was recommendations to have a more formal process initiated around a consultation process between the GNSO and the GAC. So we sent a letter back to the GAC, basically indicating that we would welcome further dialogue, and if there was any additional information that the GAC would like to provide or members of the GAC would like to provide to the council, that we would be certainly welcome, open and welcome that further input. We indicated in that letter that we are continuing to deliberate this issue. It's clearly not a topic for our decision today, but for further discussion and deliberation. I know that on our last council call in December, there were a couple of folks who raised concerns about the possibility of taking some recommendations and splitting them and referring one to the RPM PDP working group, I think in concern of what that might do to the progress of the RPM PDP working group itself in phase 2, again, not impacting phase 1. But this is still an ongoing topic of discussion for us. Nothing's been decided. I think at this stage, in terms of timing, we have not yet, to my knowledge, heard back from the GAC in response to, or from the GAC chair in response to our latest letter. But I expect there could be a request or an agreement to have further discussions face-to-face in Kobe. So as much as I think we would all like to conclude this and to move this forward and to basically make a decision as the council is expected to do, we're in a situation right now where we are essentially continuing our deliberations internally at council and within the GNSO community. We've extended the opportunity for the GAC to provide us more input and share their further views, and that my expectation is we would have further discussion face-to-face in Kobe and then following Kobe make a final decision on this. That's essentially my setting the scene, setting the stage, and I just want to, you know, provide an opportunity here with us face-to-face to have a conversation about this. And particularly, I want people to focus on the recommendation from the GNSO Council leadership, myself, Pam, and Rafiq, in working with staff that we consider approving the four recommendations, the first four that don't change consensus policy or create new consensus policy, And then refer the fifth recommendation to the RPM PDP working group. Because, as we discussed earlier, the recommendation number five proposes changes to the UDRP. And the RPM PDP working group is going to, in fairly short order, be handling and addressing and reviewing the UDRP. And so the rationale is that it would make little sense from a timing perspective to approve a recommendation that would change the UDRP while there's another parallel group that's getting ready to do that within GNSO operating procedures. So let me pause there, and I see, Philippe, you have your hand up. Feel free to jump in, and if anybody else would like to get into queue, please do. Philippe?
Philippe Petillon. Thank you, Keith. I have personally not followed this, but I was asked to reconfirm the position of the IPC, which was already shared at our previous meeting by Paul. If you want me to restate what that position was, I'm happy to do that. If that is not necessarily, then I won't do it.
Okay. Thanks, Philippe. This is Keith. So I think it would actually be helpful if you would, restate it. I would welcome that. I think it's important for all of us as we continue these deliberations to, again, hear sort of the rationale and the concerns with the proposed approach that we've put forward. So I certainly welcome all views on this.
Here is a summary. Thank you, Philippe Petillon. Here is a summary, Keith. Paul has, at the previous meeting, he has put forward the IPC position, and that the IPC actually suggests to decline all five recommendations. Not just recommendation five, but all recommendations suffer from apparent structural issues. And they have not resulted in consensus outcomes in a manner required by the GNSO operating procedures and the working group guidelines. And it's the view of the IPC that they lack support from both the GAC and the IGOs and INGOs themselves. The IPC finds that the Council should therefore consider to recharter a new PDP in accordance with the PDP 3.0 standards, or re-articulate the charter language for the second round of the RPM PDP. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Philippe, and thanks to Paul in absentia for sharing those views. And I think that's certainly on the table for further discussion. Would anybody else? Rafiq, I see your hand. Go right ahead.
Thanks, Keith. This is Rafiq speaking. So, just hearing the comment and what is suggested, what it's you are proposing here is that we have to vote on the recommendation, but the IPC position will be to vote against.
Philippe Petillon, yes.
Okay. No, just it's to clarify here, because at the end it's just we will move and vote, but it will depend to how the different group position here. But I think what we are trying is to find an approach to respond to the concern, but we discussed it several times about how we are assessing what happened in the working group and so on. And so I think the main difference in perspective between the different group here.
Philippe Petillon, I think it would be wise that we actually have that discussion, as was announced by Keith, at the next council meeting in Kobe, or at the next one over the phone. Maybe we will have some reaction to the latest letter as well. And I think it would be good if we could have that next live discussion. Thank you.
Thank you, Philippe. Thank you, Rafiq. And again, just to reiterate, this is an ongoing discussion and deliberation. As much as many of us, if not all of us, would like to conclude this issue and no longer have it on our agendas, this is still one that we need to discuss and deliberate, and we need to make sure that everybody's fully up to speed so we can all make a highly informed decision. Just one note is that in consideration of voting, since that was raised, recommendations 1 through 4 to approve them would need a majority vote of the council because they do not change or create new consensus policy. Approval of number 5 would require a supermajority. So as we, because it would essentially change an existing consensus policy in UDRP. So I think we need to keep that in mind as we consider our paths forward and, you know, whether we have sufficient support to accomplish that that threshold. So with that, would anybody else like to get in the queue on INGO CRP? Yes, Pam, thank you.
Thank you, Keith. Pam Little speaking. For the purpose of our next discussion on this topic, may I suggest we all perhaps revisit the webinar that was held by the council, chaired by Heather. Is it October or September? I can't remember. We had a webinar talking about this final report of this working group specifically for 1 hour, and the previous leadership actually lay out what the criteria the council will use to evaluate whether the charter questions have been answered, whether the working group had followed process. I can't remember the third one. Anyway, my point is there was this webinar, and I think will be really helpful for our IPC colleagues as well as other councillors. If you haven't really kept up to date, that is something 1 hour, and also you can read the transcript. And I think you might form a different view if you do so. Thank you.
Thanks, Pam. Marie?
Thanks, Keith. Marie Tallow from the BC. One conversation I had with Susan Kawaguchi, and I bring her up because for those of you who may not be aware, she used to be the liaison to this group, so obviously has a lot of insight. A discussion I had with her over the last couple of weeks and also discussions I've been having with other people. Regardless of what happens to the first four, I'm not sure that putting recommendation five to the RPM working group is actually the best way forward. There are other issues in that working group which are not for discussion in this part now, but given the discussions that we had at the last ICANN meeting about the process, the procedure, where we got to where we are with these 5 recommendations, also some of the other issues that are happening within the RPM PDP, if recommendation 5 is to be hived off, I would like us to at least consider whether it should be an independent group that looks at that. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Marie. Another good option, or a potential option at least. I think, again, this raises the question of if there's an existing PDP, and this is a question for council as we look at the PDP 3.0 implementation and sort of, you know, making ourselves and the whole process more efficient and effective, is would it make sense to create you know, a separate PDP on number 5 when there's a parallel PDP looking at UDRP more broadly? And maybe the answer is yes. Let's consider that as an option. What I'm going to suggest here, I don't see any other hands up. Nobody else wants to get in queue on this one, is that if it turns out that we don't need our special council meeting on February 14th for the purposes of the EPDP and discussions around the EPDP, perhaps we repurpose that special meeting for a dedicated session on this, on the INGO curative rights final report and the discussions. Because to Pam's point, we did have a webinar last summer, I think it was. Don't quote me on the date, but it was last summer, last fall, where the council came together, you know, with an effort to try to advance the ball on this one, to move this forward, to, you know, bring some clarity to those of us who had not been following this very closely, and I think that's most of us. And so I'm just going to suggest that as a possibility, let's keep open the potential that we repurpose that February 14th meeting for a dedicated session on this topic to bring all of us up to, you know, sort of, again, a common understanding of where we are and what the challenges in front of us, what the range of options might be. So, Elsa, go right ahead. Thank you.
Thanks, Keith. And I would love to focus on this topic further, but I just thought I'd just put a very basic question on the table, and I think it's very important for us to understand why exactly a consensus within the WG has not been taken forward within the GNSO Council. If there are specific reasons, it would be good for us to have them clear in front of us. Because I feel like it's not 100% clear to everyone in this room why exactly this is not being pushed forward properly or as it should, since there has been consensus, and that's exactly what we want out of our PDP working groups as a GNSO Council. I hope that makes sense and gets the message through.
Yes. Thanks, Elsa. This is Keith. It certainly does. It's a great point, and I think that would be the desired outcome of, going into the conversation, the next conversation that we have dedicated to this, is to bring up and level set everybody as to what the various issues are, were, and concerns might be. I think there are a range of things. There are some who view, and again, let me just state, if there was a clear answer or a clear view on one side or the other on a range of these concerns, it would be a lot easier to deal with this problem, but there are differing views. There are some who view that the composition and participation in the group was not fully legitimate because it appeared to have been dominated by a special interest or the possibility that, over time, the group, through attrition, lost a lot of members and that the community broadly wasn't fully represented. But there are others, if you go and look at the numbers and the process and, the assessment of various participants in the group, that maybe there's an argument that it wasn't captured. So I think that's one concern. On a substantive issue, the group was chartered to look at whether IGOs and IGOs should have a separate process or special consideration as it relates to curative rights. And instead of giving them, something new, Recommendation 5 actually makes things worse for them, right? So worse in the sense around a consensus policy that exists and that is going to be under review by this RPM PDP working group. That's just a couple of examples of how there's, different ways to look at this, and that's sort of what we need to get to a common understanding on. Maybe not agreement, but an understanding of what the range of concerns is. So, Elsa, back to you.
Thank you, Keith. Elsa again. I completely understand this point of view and this. Thank you for actually elaborating, but I just don't want this issue to set a precedent within the GNSO Council that we might not be able to get back after it happens. So I think this is a very critical moment whereby the GNSO either just takes it forward or sets a precedent, basically. So that's why I think it's important that this, whatever was just mentioned, would be put down on a clear slate, on a clear table, and be discussed openly, so that if a precedent is set, it's set on very clear standards, if that makes sense.
Thanks, Elsa. It certainly does, and that's exactly why we've been wrestling with this, is concerns about precedent. And this gets back to some of the PDP discussions, the PDP 3.0 discussions we've been having, is the council simply essentially saying, yes, by the letter, process was followed, and therefore we're going to, so-called rubber stamp the recommendations and move them forward. Or if there were serious concerns raised along the way and, if there are implications, beyond what was perhaps expected or understood by people who didn't participate so closely, should those be considered? And so completely agree about precedent. But at the end of the day, so we have a possibility of simply approving what was given to us and kicking it to the board, which would, I won't speak for the board in this instance, but I think there are concerns there. And does it come back to us at that point, and do we start over? Are we back at square one? Or do we reject everything as has been suggested and recharter and start over? Or do we come up with something that's a bit more creative, as it relates to the recommendations from the group, but recognizing that Recommendation 5 actually has an impact on an ongoing, an existing consensus policy and an ongoing separate PDP. So a range of concerns and problems, but I think your points are very well made and very well taken, Elsa. So thank you. Okay, anybody else want to get in queue on this one? Okay, we have 10 minutes left in the meeting, so we should move on. Thanks, everybody. All right, next item is any other business? Okay, so 8.1, update on the CSC effectiveness review. Philippe, can I turn to you, please?
Thank you. So the purpose of this AOB item is to keep Council up to date with the progress of the effectiveness review of the Customer Standing Committee and to draw your attention to the initial report of the review team. I sent a link to the list. You can have that on the public comment list. I believe it's still open for about a month. So we should brace ourselves for approving a revised report by COBE, or at COBE, for that matter. Maybe a word on the content. The conclusion, in a nutshell, is that the Customer Standing Committee is effective and efficient. The team came up with four recommendations, I believe. So what we did essentially was is twofold. First, to do a sort of functional evaluation of how the CSC works, and that was charter-based. We had a number of, I believe, 14 criteria, and determined they were met. And the other thing that we did was to sort of assess the human factor of having a small team of experienced people and the issue of renewing part of that staff. And some of the recommendations that we came up with are relative to handing over that knowledge when there's a turnover of members. So that's in a nutshell the summary of what the team came up with. It was on a personal basis, it was a good team, very fun to work with. I should mention that for the record. It's not always the case. So I'm happy to take questions. Certainly encourage people to have a look at that. And that will serve, I forgot that, it will serve as an input to the broader IANA naming function review moving forward. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Philippe, and thanks for your service and contributions to that group. Very much appreciated, and I think it's a perfect example of how we as the GNSO Council and councillors have an opportunity, shall I say, to volunteer to contribute to things that are outside our direct GNSO Council duties, but are very important as it relates to our role in the empowered community and sort of the new construct following the IANA transition. And there's quite a few of those, so thanks for your contributions there. Would anybody have any questions or comments or feedback for Philippe? Okay. Seeing none, thank you. Let's move on then. Next item under any other business is a discussion of the IANA function review team composition. This is the specific topic related to the letter that we received from the CCNSO related to the challenge that they are experiencing in identifying, as required under the bylaws, a non-CCNSO CCTLD manager to participate in this group. I think, as we all know, the CCNSO is the supporting organization for CCTLDs, but not all CCTLD managers participate in the CCNSO. That was acknowledged during the deliberations and the IANA transition and the creation of the new structures that we have following the transition. But what we heard from the CCNSO in their recent letter is that they have not been able to find anybody, any CCTLD operator, not a member of the CCNSO, who's interested or willing to participate in this role at this time on the IANA functions review team. So what they have proposed is an interim step until such time a non-CCNSO CCTLD manager steps up, is that they appoint an interim CCNSO member to take on that role on the IANA functions review team. And essentially what the letter says and what we've heard is that if there's no objection from the various appointing groups, then that would be deemed acceptable as an interim step by ICANN. But that essentially this is a call for, you know, any concerns or expressions of concern around that interim step. So that's open for discussion at this point. We don't have a lot of time left, 5 minutes left on our agenda, but this is something where we as the, or I should say not the GNSO Council, because we're not an appointing member for the members of the IANA Functions Review Team, but for those who are to raise concerns. So I have Rafiq, and the, Rafiq, is that a new hand or an old hand? Okay, Rafiq and then Makhali.
Okay, thanks, Keith. This is Rafiq speaking. So I think you, that time you asked the question that we, if we need to get feedback from our stakeholder group and constituency, and so from the NCSG side, we got quite strong response from our members that we have to take really strong stand to that the bylaws must be implemented as written. And so we need really to avoid this situation, trying to kind of move away every time we have an issue. I think we understand the challenges for the CCNSO, but we need really to do this every time after the time spent on the bylaws and so on. So this is kind of the NCSG position. Maybe I think one question we can raise here, if it's just up to the different SCNC to respond, and maybe not having kind of a council position on this.
Thanks, Rafiq. Makhali, you're next.
Thanks, Makhali, for the record. Just speaking in my capacity as a member of the Policy Advisory Committee for the .ie CCTLD, who is not a member of the CCNSO and does not qualify for membership of the CCNSO and will probably never qualify for membership of the CCNSO, I'll take this to them and see if I can encourage them to participate. Thanks.
Thanks, Makhali. That would be fantastic if successful. So I think, if anybody else would like to get into queue, feel free. Please do. Just checking to see if we have anybody right now. Nope, nobody else yet. So I think on this one, you know, we have, I think what I need to do is better understand who the appointing members of the group are, to understand who the potential candidates for, you know, sort of speaking out or opposing or supporting would be. So I think I've got an action item to sort of better understand this that we can share with the group. But, you know, I think we have a situation where there's a couple of outcomes here. If we or a group or there was a rejection of this proposal for an interim CCNSO member to take that slot until such time a non-CCNSO member stepped forward, then effectively the IANA Functions Review Team is down a participant. We'd have a vacant seat. Right, and potentially for, you know, the duration of the review cycle. So that takes away one possible, you know, contributor or, you know, expert in the field. And so that's just that's one concern that I see. And I think I just need to do a little bit more homework and get better up to speed on, you know, sort of what the ramifications are, what the composition of the group would look like, and what the potential impact of losing a contributor would actually be on the group. Would anybody else like to weigh in on this one with views about, you know, feel? I mean, obviously, thanks, Rafiq, for representing the views of NCSG on this one. But I think, and we can take this to the list, but it is something where we, as our component parts and appointing members for the IANA Functions Review Team, owe a response, or at some point perhaps a non-response, you know, could be deemed as acceptance. So any other comments? Any other questions? Let's take this one to the list at this point. We'll come back to the list with a little bit more detail around the, you know, the structure here. Okay, next item, and I think the last item, last two. All right, next we have ICANN 64 planning. Okay, thank you, Pam.
Pam Little. Based on yesterday's planning meeting. They are potentially two community proposed hits, high interest topic. So one of them will be GDPR/EPDP/Unified Access Model or something like that. Okay. And the other one will be Universal Acceptance /IDN. Also, there's a slot on Thursday before the usual public forum slot. We will now have, I believe, a board-proposed session on the new ICANN governance model as a discussion, but that's not a hit. So these are the what's discussed yesterday, and I think I have the support of those who were in the meeting. We are waiting for further confirmation from the meeting planning team. If I get an email of confirmation or update, I would send that to the list or provide you a further update. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Pam. Any questions or comments? Michele, is that a new hand or an old hand?
Old, ignore, please.
Okay, thank you. And any input or further discussions from staff on ICANN 64 planning, anything that we need to be aware of at this stage? Please, Natalie. Thank you.
Maybe I'd like to mention that Rafiq has, in record time, finished organizing the GNSO Council dinner for Kobe. So I don't know if she wants to say a few words about it now. It's pretty impressive.
Thanks, Natalie. Yeah, because I kind of delegated the work. Not the stuff, just to be. So, yeah, since we will be in Japan, Kobe, the idea is to kind of to experience what Japanese do in terms of after a working party. And so we will go to kind of, no karaoke. We will go to a Japanese type pub, and there will be sake. And so taking into account all your, constraints and preference, so I think it will be in the Saturday at 7 p.m., so I hope that everyone will be in time, and we will share more about the logistics later. So you will experience something typical Japanese, like any Japanese salaryman. But for those interested in karaoke, we can do a second after party if you want. So.
I do have to point out that basically if we want to do it in traditional Japanese way, everybody has to drink as much sake as Keith does, and nobody can leave before Keith leaves.
You're all in big trouble. Thank you, Yul. Okay, thanks, Pam. Thank you, Rafiq. Let's move on to the last item on the agenda now, which is a discussion of proposed FY20 Council additional budget requests. So I'm looking around going, who's going to take this one? Steve.
Thanks, Keith. This is, Steve Chan from staff. I think it was yesterday we actually circulated the proposed ABR request for this year. So hopefully you all have had a chance to look at it. I know Michele supplied a comment. But two of those ABRs are actually continuations of previous ones. One is about this very event right here, about the strategic planning session. So there's one request to, again, ask for that in FY20. The other one that is a continuation is for the PDP travel pilot support. So, again, that's a continuation that was available in FY18 and FY19. So the thought is to continue that for FY20. And then so the third one, which is actually new, is it originates from PDP 3.0. And that one is essentially a playbook or a guideline document to help lay out steps for assessing and reaching consensus, or essentially consensus building. So the idea is to try to get a consultant to develop guidelines for the PDP leadership, the working groups themselves, to be able to hopefully be able to get to consensus building or through that process in a more expedient and helpful fashion. So So those are the three. I hope you've had a chance to review them. So the deadline is actually tomorrow. So if you haven't looked at them, time is of the essence. Thanks.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Steve, and thanks for all the work that you put into that. And so please, everybody, take a look at those if you haven't already, if you feel the need to, and let's make sure we make that deadline. So, well, okay, with that, let me pause and see if there's any other business, anything else that we need to discuss during today's January 2019 GNSO Council meeting. Okay, seeing no hands with that, let's conclude this meeting, and thank you all very much for participating. Cheryl, thank you very much for joining remotely. Appreciate your attendance, and with that, let's conclude the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Operator, you may now disconnect the lines and stop the recordings.